Log Talk Radio.
Yo, what up, everybody? This is Lee for Lee and Keys Real Talk Radio. Tonight, me and Keys are going to break down UFC 261, three title fights. We're going to talk about our sleeper fight of the night. Definitely going to do a deep dive into the main card tonight. We want to get Keys, want to get a couple words from Keys concerning the Robert Whittaker fight over the past weekend, and we'll also talk about this Ben Askren fight that happened over the weekend. So we got a lot to jump into tonight. You know, yesterday was 420. I watched the Versus with Red Man and Method Man. Very entertaining. Great night last night. Snowing outside, so all weather hasn't let up yet. But, you know, we'll just keep it pushing. And Mother Nature give us a spring, hopefully here soon. And, thanks for those that listened to the boxing show last Friday. You know, I had fun with that, me and my homeboy Tony. So, it's always good talking sports. Always good talking sports. Got the NFL draft show. I'm gonna do something with the NFL draft probably the Friday after the first round, but we'll see what's going on. Hopefully my man Keys will be jump up here in a minute. So I can start rambling. Normally I'm pretty good rolling solo, you know, hey, you know, talking to you guys. While I'm waiting on one of my co-hosts to jump on, or if I'm just doing a solo show. But talking about the card this weekend, like I said, we got three title fights on the UFC first event with fans in Jacksonville, Florida. They sold out. I want to say Dana White said they sold out in minutes. 15,000 people going to be in the house. So definitely looking forward to that. Hopefully, I can get to an event before the end of the year. Then things are starting to open up. I'm ready to be part to do something. Definitely want to go to a concert. Really don't care about going to the movies too much. But I just miss going to my concerts and doing little stuff like that. But we slowly but surely coming around. We as a country, you know, as responsible people, finally coming around and doing what we're supposed to do. But let's look at this card for Saturday. We got Kamaru Usman taking on Jorge Masvidal. This is the fight two. Usman called Masvidal after his last fight against Gilbert Burns, saying that he ain't want no excuses. This time, Masvidal will have full camp and won't be taking the fight on 6 days' notice. Then we got Zhang Weili taking on Thug Rose Namajunas. Namajunas, who took some time off after her loss to Jessica Andrade, actually. After she lost to Jessica Andrade, she took some time off. And in that process, Andrade's lost to Wally Zhang. I want to say that was Andrade who Wally Zhang beat for the belt, but I'm going to double check that. It was Jessica Andrade. Okay, so I was right. That fight should be a good fight. I'll give my fight breakdown in a minute for this fight. And then we have the third championship fight, Valentina Shevchenko taking on Jessica Andrade. Andrade moved down. Valentina has definitely been on a tear. So hopefully Andrade can get a fight. Then we got Battle of the Veterans, Uriah Hall taking on Chris Weidman. And then we have Anthony Smith taking on Jimmy Crute at light heavyweight. And then the main event for the prelims, Alex Oliveira taking on Randy Brown, which I think is a good fight for Randy Brown to judge and see where he's at. as a fighter. I think he's a good up-and-coming guy. He lost his last fight against Vicente Luque. But let's see what he got going against Alex Oliveira. So I think that fight will be a good fight. But should be a great card. The UFC definitely came with the pain. They definitely came with a stat card for their return in front of live fans. Sometimes these cards don't live up to the billing, but with so many fights up here, because you got four fights on the early prelims, then you got 1, 2, 3, 4 fights on the prelims, and then you got 5 fights on the main card. So, yeah, man, should be a great card. But look like I might be rolling solo tonight, so I'm just gonna jump into it. Let me talk about this Logan Paul fight with Ben Askren over the weekend. Askren, I thought, would lose because he's not a quality striker. He wasn't a good striker in the UFC, so I don't know what would make him think he could go down at boxing and be a good striker down there. But hey, he got paid. He got paid a nice little salary. Some people saying he could make up close to $1 million in this fight. So hey, I'm not mad at Askren for getting paid. I just don't look at Jake Paul as a real boxer. You know, some people say he's a pro. I don't think he's a pro. I think he's more of a celebrity boxer than anything. So, people really like this guy. You know, he has hella followers on social media. But I think sometimes his mouth might get him into a little bit of trouble. He was talking smack to Tyron Woodley, and Woodley is a guy that definitely has hands. Whether or not he can put those hands to use in a boxing ring, I don't know. But I think maybe Jake Paul's next fight will be against Tyron Woodley. But we shall see. But I see, I think one thing we have to look at with this celebrity boxing and MMA fighters is MMA fighters don't make as much money as fighters do on the boxing side. So Ben Askren was guaranteed $500,000 just to make it to the ring. So he made $500,000 just to get to the ring. And you see UFC fighters, they have to fight for every penny they get from Zuffa on the UFC. So that's why you see more of these UFC guys trying to do these crossover events, because they get paid more money doing stuff like that on the side. So I'm not mad with the UFC guys going over to fight Jake Paul or whatever, because they're making money. They're making more money fighting him than they do doing a regular fight in the UFC. So would I like to see Jake Paul come over to MMA and try his skills in the octagon? Not really, because I know what's going to happen. He's going to get probably tapped out or, you know, choked out or, you know, knocked out, because there's too many different sciences that you can use in MMA compared to in boxing. So, hey, Ben Askren, he got paid to get knocked out. So, hey, he got his pockets laid, so I can't be mad at him about that. But I think Jake Paul might want to calm down talking to Tyron Woodley like that. But we shall see what happens down the road with this quote-unquote celebrity boxer thing. But my man Keys is here.
Perfect timing.
What's going on, bro? How you
doing? I heard what you just said. I heard what you said. Say that last part again one time for the people. You said he might want to. Said he might want to chill talking to who?
Tyron Woodley like that. I think Woodley probably could get in the boxing ring. I think he probably could get in the boxing ring and be a respectable opponent for Jake Paul if he was to get in there and train with the right people.
Yeah, I think those guys are crazy. I mean, they made it sound like it was a little bit more. I looked at that locker room, you know, back and forth they had. You know, my boy T-Wo was in the locker room where they were, you know, doing his hand wraps and stuff, and his people were kind of talking to my boy T-Wo like he was a amateur fighter or something, and he was as if they were on the same level. And it's like, bro, y'all have not done anything. Like, y'all are nobodies, if we're really being honest. Like, y'all, in talking to, you know, a former world champion, I don't want to say four-time or maybe even five-time welterweight world champion. And how many belts do those guys have combined? Oh, zero? Damn, that's crazy. Zero. And actual pro fights, I mean, against pros, damn, I think also zero. That's pretty crazy. So I don't know why they were even, you know, speaking to him that way, as if they were equal, and saying they were, you know, that one dude was like, oh, we in the same game as you. And it's like, y'all are not in the same game. I kind of get what they were trying to say, but, you know, I think they were just entertaining themselves. I think that was just the little bravado right there, just to try to get, you know what I mean, another fight. But that's not a fight that y'all want to have. So I think they should just kind of slow their roll a little bit with that one. And I think they know that, because my boy T-Wood put out a couple tweets and tagged the boy in the tweet. And he was calling him out, and he was, you know, calling them all punks and everything. And there was no response from that camp, you know, from that point. You don't hear any headlines of them calling him out when the boy's actually saying something. So, you know, when you start to bark back, you know, they get a little bit, you know, they get a little bit less amped, you know, when they realize, wow, we might actually have to fight a real fighter. I have to actually fight a guy who actually destroys guys. That guy's actually knocked out guys. You know what I mean? Not fighting a guy who's known for his wrestling and grappling. You fight a guy who's known for knocking people out. You know what I mean? It's like, this guy devastated Robbie Lawler. They might not even know who that is, though. These dudes are rookies to this game, so they might not even know who that is. So I can't even give them that much respect to even expect that they know who that is. So that's my bit on that. That enough on that. We got to talk about the real fight. We got to talk about the real fighters, Lee, at this point.
Yeah, you know, I was just throwing that out there about the money situation. You know, letting the people know about the money situation, why these UFC guys are taking those fights against Jake Paul, is because they get their pockets greased. They actually get paid pretty good money, if you ask me. But one thing I did want to ask you about is one of our favorite fighters actually looked to be getting even better, Robert Whittaker, this past weekend, taking on Kevin Gastelum. I actually watched the fight Sunday. I watched the fight Sunday. I didn't watch it Saturday. I watched it Sunday. And, oh, my God, man, Whittaker just looked. You know what? You tell me what you saw.
So this is what happened, right? So I'm going to, you know, you expect me to come in a certain way. You know, and I'm coming in that way. Don't, you know, you won't be deferred. I'm coming in the same way you expect me to come in. But I'll just say this off top. One thing that I did have to, you know, that you would probably want us to note before I even get into what I'm going to get into, talking about my boy Whittaker, you know, the best middleweight in the world, the number two all-time middleweight ever. You know, before I get to talking about him, I'll just put this out there, that Gastelum did have a short notice fight. So that he did have the fight on short notice, because he was supposed to, man, Whittaker was supposed to, you know, we know he's supposed to fight Costa, and then Costa got COVID, I think. So Costa had COVID, and then he fell out of, or whatever that was. So then he had that, and then You know, so he had the short notice fight. So Gastelum, I have to, you know, put that out there because, you know, who knows? If he had a full camp, you know, he probably wasn't able to prepare the way he wanted to prepare too. So we gotta, you know, include that. But no, shout out to Gastelum for even taking the fight. You know, definitely that was real shit because, you know, otherwise that event, you know, was likely ruined. You know, not without, you know, if Whitaker wasn't able to get an opponent. You know, so I, in a lot of respect to Gastelum for that, you know what I mean, and for stepping up. You know, but to get to your point on Whitaker, what I saw is this. Whitaker was in God mode. Whitaker was in absolute God mode, okay? I used to watch Dragon Ball Z, and they go into Super Saiyan. Whitaker went Super Saiyan. He looked like Goku in there. Whitaker looked like Goku in there. He was Super Saiyan in there. And the man, you know, Adesanya want to tweet, man, if he was in there with that Whitaker, he was not moving that Whitaker, man. That dude was a beast in there. I was so proud. I was so happy. I watched the fight by myself, and I was so excited. I felt like I had 20 people around me. I was so excited watching that fight. It was so entertaining. It was so good. This man was really switching it up. You see him. You know what I mean? Ba, 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 with the footwork, man. Whitaker was killing it in there, man. He was throwing kicks to the body, you know, kicks to the head. He was, you know, parrying the shots, moving in and out of range, switching stance. This dude was unbelievable, man. He was absolutely stellar, man. He was switching up. Whitaker, you had no idea what he was going to throw next. And that was probably my favorite thing about the type of fight that he fought was it was very unpredictable what he was going to do. And he really was switching up, what you know, the types of shots that he was throwing, and he stayed well composed. You know what I mean? He stayed well composed. I want to say it was five rounds. He stayed well composed for the five rounds. And if you didn't watch that fight, you missed out on a really good performance from Whitaker. You know what I mean? Like I said, shout out to Gastelum, but Whitaker, he went God mode. He went God mode in there, and I think it's time. We all know what it's time for, but now I think we all know. We all know. You know, the man got to get. Gotta, you know where he's gotta be next.
Yeah, man. I watched the fight on Sunday, and Whitaker dominated that fight. I know that Kevin took the fight on short notice, but I think even if Kevin had took the fight on a full camp, Whitaker would have did the same thing to him. Whitaker has definitely looked like a totally different fighter since the Adesanya fight. And actually, like I texted in our group chat, he's added more tools to his toolbox. You know, his cardio was always an advantage for him. His striking was an advantage, but now he's added kicks to his game. He's willing to take his opponent down now. Whitaker has just turned into a real beast. I thought in the first Izzy fight that I didn't recognize who Whitaker was in that fight. He just didn't look like the guy we had seen in all his fights leading up to that fight. He was throwing wildly. You could see his punches coming. He just looked like he was rushing in that first Adesanya fight. And it showed when he got caught. So even when he got caught, he was rushing in and basically ran right into that knockout punch. So, but I think the Whitaker that we saw on Saturday, I think that Whitaker dominates Adesanya in a rematch. If he fights the way he fought Saturday, he dominates Izzy and he makes Izzy look foolish in the ring. In the octagon. So I like what I was saying from Whitaker. I like the improvements he made to his game. All thing I need for him to do is to fight like he fought Saturday against Adesanya. Don't be the first Whitaker. Don't be the Whitaker we saw in the first Adesanya fight.
Yeah, man. If he can come in with that same vibe on that same type of thing, because I like what he said in the post-fight interview. I was watching the post-fight show, and I like the attitude that he had You know what I mean? It was really nice because, you know, they brought out the – I mean, he's always been humble, but I just liked the where his mind was at, even after such a, you know, such a dominant performance, and he looked spectacular, you know, and now he's, you know, three wins in a row. He's had three wins in a row where he looked really good, and, you know, he's in the post-fight interview, and, you know, they brought up the tweet. Adesanya tweeted, you know, something like calling him his son or something like that, you know, with the performance trying to, you know, taunt him or whatever, and they said, oh, what do you think about that? And Whitaker was kind of like, you know, he laughed it off, and he was like, it's all good. Like, he won the first fight, so he has the bragging rights. You know, he has the trash talk rights. You know what I mean? So he could say that, and that's fine. And I'm just out there working, and you know, I've been just doing my thing. So I got my head down, and I'm working hard, and you know, I'll probably, you know, we'll probably run that one back soon, but it is what it is. And I was like, yo, I like that. I was like, I like where his head is at. You know what I mean?
All right, let me ask you this. Do you think Izzy is going to try to dodge him?
I mean, that's the smart thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Because we know Izzy's next fight should be Whitaker. We know this. I think Izzy takes another fight. I don't know who he's going to fight, but I think he takes another fight and he makes Whitaker wait.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so too, because, you know, it's – I mean, it'd be – I don't even know who he would want to – he would opt to fight at this point, because there's really – I mean – unless you're taking somebody coming off a loss, which wouldn't be impossible, because we saw Romero. He opted to fight Romero, and Romero was coming off a loss. You know, so I mean, I guess that's not off the table. I mean, that's something that we just recently saw him do. So I mean, I don't doubt he would take Cannonier coming off a loss. You know, he might take who is the other? You know, one of these other couple guys. You know, maybe he'll take Brunson. I don't know. I don't know what he's going to do, because I think like the two, I mean, the three guys, I say three, you kind of have three guys right there. I mean, he's beaten all of them. You know, he's beaten Whitaker, Vettori, and Brunson. But I mean, to be fair, all these dudes have worked their way back up to that, you know, to that spot. You know, all these dudes are pretty much, I mean, Brunson's not far off from the title talk either. He's been winning fights, even if they haven't been, you know, fights that I was super, you know, entertained by. I wasn't excited. You know, Brunson's still been doing his thing and winning fights, and Vettori's been doing his thing and winning fights. You know, and Whitaker's definitely been doing his thing and winning fights, and I think he's a number one contender. But if you're Adesanya, I mean, you could just use the excuse and say, I've beaten all three of those guys already, so why am I going to fight them again? And I think they'll just try to, you know, he'll try to take somebody else. You know, I could see him even trying to still take Till, even though Till didn't get, you know, Till didn't even fight. I could see him taking Till, you know, coming off a loss, just because that's someone he hasn't fought, and I feel like, you know, he thinks he can beat Till, you know what I mean? And that's because if you're fighting Whitaker, especially this guy, you know, he sees the way Whitaker looks. Whitaker looks damn good. He can't beat that guy. You know what I mean? You can't convince me Adesanya beats that Whitaker. You know what I mean? Because you're not going to be able to just stand there and counterpunch like you did before. Like, it's not going to be that kind of game. You know what I mean? He's not going to, you know, if he comes in there with the same energy he has, you know, in his last three fights, Adesanya loses the belt. You know what I mean? And I think he knows that. You know, I think a portion of his mind knows that. And it's like, okay, let me just say, you know, I don't want to fight this guy because I already knocked him out last time. Even though we all know that was 2 years ago, and a lot has changed in those 2 years. Okay, we just saw Adesanya get exposed at light heavyweight. Okay, we saw that he was taken down over and over. He was held down. Okay, he was able to do nothing when he was taken down. He was able to do nothing. He looked like a fish out of water. So we just saw him get exposed. Okay, so and then Whitaker has showed us that he is very versatile, and he is, and like you said, he has added more, you know, notches to his tool belt, and, you know, and he is using more of his tools, you know, and he is mixing it up more, and we don't see him fighting emotional, you know. So I think we all know that 2 years ago, in 2 years, a lot has changed. But I think it's time for that rematch. And if you're the UFC, I think you try to book that rematch. So I'd be surprised if they're not offering that rematch to Adesanya, you know, in the next couple of, you know, next couple of weeks, maybe even a month, you know, sometime this summer. I'd be surprised. If they don't offer that for sometime this summer, I would be surprised. But if you're the UFC, you go for it, because that's a big fight. But I do think Adesanya will try to dodge it. He'll try to dodge it.
Yep, I'm with you. I think he lobbies for a fight against Darren Till. I think he lobbies for a fight against Darren Till, and then he fights Whitaker later in the year. I think he'll use I ain't gonna say excuse, but I'm gonna say he's gonna use the reasoning that you threw out there. I beat all these guys because he beat Brunson. Only person he hasn't fought in the top five is Jared Cannonier, but Jared Cannonier just lost to Robert Whitaker, so I think he uses your logic and tells the UFC, give me Darren Till. And then we get Whitaker. But I think if he the champion that he proclaims himself to be, he should be out there kicking the walls down saying, UFC, give me Robert Whitaker. I need to shut everybody up. Give me Robert Whitaker, and let's put an end to this, you know, sometime in the summer. So, but I'm with you, man. I think Till will be his next opponent, and then he gets Robert Whitaker. If I'm Whitaker, I don't fight again until I have my title shot. So, yeah, bro, let's jump into Saturday's card, man. We got a big one Saturday, a big, big card Saturday. I'm looking forward to this one, man.
Yeah, me too. I'm definitely looking forward to it. I'm pulling up the card right now.
Yeah, I'm going to be playing in front of the TV starting at about 4 p.m. Mountain Time. So, 6 p.m. Mountain Time. Hold on. The main card starts at 8, so that's 10 p.m.
Yes.
But look, man.
You're going to be 6 p.m.?
Yeah, 6 p.m. Mountain Time. Yep, we'll be planted in front of the TV, bro.
Man, they got some bangers on the prelims.
Yeah, man, they got some nice fights on the
floor. Yeah, that prelim main event is looking nice. Alex Oliveira and Randy Brown. I like that fight.
Yes, sir, I like that one.
I'm a fan of that fight. That's a great fight.
Ben, are we talking about the fights? What's your sleeper fight on the card?
Man, so you saw me. Okay, so you saw me put that up there. Then I could tell. So yeah, you saw me try to bring that one back.
You know that's an older, but man, for me and you.
Yeah, and I've been trying to reimplement it. You know what I mean? I've been trying to reimplement it for sure. So I'm gonna go with this fight here on the early prelims, man. I'm gonna go with this. I have, it looks like Donna Batro versus Kevin Natividad. I'm going to go with this. This is the early prelims main event. These two dudes, it looks like one guy, I don't know if they're doing some kind of catch weight. It looks like it's some kind of catch weight. I don't know if they're rocking at bantamweight or featherweight, because one of these guys is, okay,
it's
so
bantamweight.
I think my boy Kevin, who we share the same name, that's not why I had a sleeper fight, but I do like other people named Kevin. So, but yeah, so I think this dude is going to move down to 135, and they have the same reach, both a 70-inch reach. You know, they have a similar size overall. Don is 31, Kevin 28. I mean, I like the fight. You know, they're pretty much the same. Looks like the same body type. I can't see I can't see the stats, you know, as far as the significant strikes or anything like that, so I don't know much about their fighting style, but as far as just, like, the basics on paper, I think this could be a good one. This is going to be my super fight.
Just to give you a little bit more information on these two guys, both of them are orthodox fighters. Bat Garrow, his significant strikes landed per minute is 5.66. compared to 2.57 for Natividad. And Bagheera, significant strike accuracy is 45%, and Kevin's is 27%. So looking at the stats, Bagheera has kind of like a little advantage in the striking game. They got zeros for his takedown average, takedown accuracy, and submission average. So this fight most likely is going to be a standard fight. Unless one of these guys can do something different as far as like getting their opponent down and submitting them. I think they'll probably take their opponent off guard because they don't have any percentages or nothing for the stats. But I'm going to go with a fight that's on the prelims. I'm going with Carl Roberson and Brendan Allen, man. Carl Roberson is 9-3, Brendan Allen is 15-4. Roberson is a southpaw versus Allen, who is orthodox. The one thing that stands out to me in this one is Roberson's takedown accuracy, 57%. Compared to 37% for Brendan Allen. So I don't think Roberson wants to have a stand-up fight with Allen. I think he wants to take him down, use his wrestling in this fight. But this will be my sleeper fight of the card, Carl Roberson versus Brendan Allen.
Yeah, man. I mean, I like Carl Roberson. Now, I like Carl Roberson. I don't remember the last time I saw Brendan Allen fight, but I do like Carl Roberson. I'm a fan of his, so that's a good one too. I think they got some good fights on this card between the early prelims and the prelims, and even some names that I'm not as familiar with, like my dudes that I picked for my sleeper fight. You know, I'm not as familiar with them, but I'm interested to see. You know, they may not have any takedowns attempted or submissions attempted so far in the UFC. Maybe they're only like one or two fights deep in the organization, but that's why I'm more, you know, that's even more intriguing for me. So this some guys that I like, and then guys that I'm not as familiar with, but I'm interested to see. So I think this is a good card.
I got one gripe about this card. There's no way I would hire Uriah Hall or Chris Weidman on the main card. I think I would have put Alex Oliveira and Randy Brown on the main card, and I would have made Uriah Hall and Chris Weidman the main event of the prelims. That's my only gripe about this card. I don't have a problem with Anthony Smith and Jimmy Crute opening up the main card, but it's just something about Uriah Hall and Chris Weidman being on the main card over Alex Oliveira and Randy Brown. It just kind of rubbed me the wrong way.
Yeah, that's definitely not. Yeah, see, this is the thing, too, is that the UFC has got to kind of be realistic here because you got two guys who Uriah Hall is not – I mean, he kind of was like a guy that, you know, he had a lot of hype and then he kind of died out. And then his fights are just not known to – he don't really put on spectacular fights. You know, he's just like kind of a – he's kind of like a subpar fighter, you know, to me. He's not really – you know, that fight overall, I mean, Chris Brown has been, you know, having a rough patch too. That fight is nowhere near the fight that Alex Oliveira versus Randy Brown is. So the fact that that's, you know, those cards, those two should have been swapped. You know what I mean? Those guys should have been, you know, where they are. And then Randy Brown, you know, and Oliveira should have been in on that main card spot. You know, if we were really going and having it right, you know, the way that we should. You know, when guys, that you want to have guys that, you know, are going to kick it off. But, you know, at the same time, they're putting them in the prelim main event, and they kind of are kicking it off because they're going to be a banger fight. Oliveira, Randy Brown's going to be a banger, and that's going to bring us into the main card. So, you know, at the same time, while I think they should have been swapped, I still think that's a good placement for them. You know, I'm glad.
Yeah. Only reason I want to say that I want Randy Brown and Oliveira on the main card is because I look at those guys as up-and-coming stars in the UFC, whereas I look at Uriah Hall and Chris Weidman as fading stars in the UFC. But they still names, so that's why I probably would have put them on the main event of the prelim. But look, man, let's jump into the main card, man. We got Anthony Smith 34-16, taking on Jimmy Crew, 12-1. Jimmy Crew is the favorite in this one, -195 to +165. What's your thoughts on this fight, bro?
You know, the last time Smith fought, I picked against him, and he had a first-round submission, but he also fought a guy that, I mean, we knew he was, like, it was kind of a mismatch in the first place, but the way Smith looked against, I was more picking off based off the way Smith looked against Glover. You know, I was still thinking of the way Smith looked against Glover and how bad he got beat by Glover, but I really couldn't imagine him winning. You know, I thought he was just having like a rough patch right there, but he had a first round submission. But this guy, you know, Jimmy Crute is a tough kid, man. He's a really tough kid. I think Crute is a bit smaller than Smith. I feel like he has a bit smaller frame. You know, they're both 205ers, but I think that he's smaller, like, naturally, and he's a bit smaller of a guy. So I think Smith's size could be a little bit difficult for him. But I think Crute will figure it out. You know what I mean? I think Crute – and I'm going to pick Crute to win this fight, too. I think Crute's going to win probably – I think Crute might KO Anthony Smith, honestly. I think he might KO Anthony Smith probably – In the second or third round. Maybe third round. I like third round TKO for Crute.
Man, I really want to pick Smith, but I'm not going to pick him. Although he has a 2-inch reach advantage, looking at the stats, Crute does everything better than him. But Crute only been in 13 fights compared to 50 fights for Anthony Smith. But the one number that sticks out to me is Crute takedown accuracy, 75%. I'm going with Crute, man. I'm going second round submission, man. I think Crute takes the fight to the ground. He makes Anthony Smith fight off his back. He made Anthony Smith defend being submitted. He made Anthony Smith use a scramble game, and when you're getting taken down and having to scramble so much, you normally make a mistake. And I think Anthony Smith makes a mistake, and Crute submits him. Man, I like Crute in this fight. Although I think Smith is going to be game. I think Smith 205 isn't his weight class. Only way 205 is going to be Anthony Smith weight class is he's going to have to have a 205 body. Like when Izzy came in there versus Jan, you could tell Jan was a 205er and Izzy wasn't. And I think Anthony Smith needs to have a 205 body. And I'm going with Jimmy Crute, man. Second round submission, dog. Let's keep this one short and brief. Uriah Hall versus Chris Weidman. Weidman is a favorite at a -125. Uriah Hall is underdog at +105.
Man, I'll just say this right now. I'll just come out. This fight sucks. This fight absolutely sucks, man. This is terrible. Like, this is terrible, man. Y'all really put the two most, like, lowest hype. Like, literally, can we have it right? Like, these are the two most lowest, like, height middleweights in the division right now. Like, these two dudes, I could not be any less interested in this fight than I am. Like, this is unbelievable. Like, I can't believe this. Like, I don't even know why I have to win this fight, because these dudes just – I'm just really not a fan of these dudes. I mean – Chris Weidman is just arrogant. I don't like how he loses three fights and then he wins one and he's like, I'm going to fight for the title. It's like, it's the same talk that Garbrandt been on. Garbrandt gets knocked out, you know, all these fights and then he wins one and he's like, oh, I'm going to fight for the title. And it's like, I just don't like that mentality. Like, bro, like, fight your way back. You know what I mean? What?
Let's just go double third round TKO. Let's go.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go third round TKO Uriah Hall.
Yeah, I like that too. I like that too. I'm going with two. Third round TKO. That sounds good. I like that. We need to speed that up. You're right, bro. you're right, bro. You're right.
Yeah, we both going third round TKO. You're right.
Yeah.
All right, man. Let's get to it, dog. First title fight of the night. We got Valentina Sexy Bullet Shevchenko versus Jessica Andrade. Andrade is moving down to flyweight to take on Valentina. Valentina is 4 inches taller, has a 4.5-inch reach advantage. Valentina is a southpaw. Andrade is orthodox. And a lot of these stats kind of favor, no, they don't. Significant strikes landed per minute favor Andrade, and takedown average favors Andrade, but everything else kind of favors a champion. 20-3 Shevchenko, 21-8 Andrade. Shevchenko -420 going against +330 Andrade. Who you got, bro?
Shevchenko and Andrade. Wow. I'm going with Shevchenko. You know, I just think Shevchenko's a lot better than Andrade. I don't even gotta like do too much breakdown. I just think Shevchenko's levels above Andrade, and Shevchenko's gonna outbox her. Andrade, of course, got the power, but you know, I feel like after the first two rounds, like she's gonna fade, you know, and I feel like Shevchenko's gonna be piecing her up with some shots. You know, you'll probably have. I think we'll see Shevchenko have like a handful of knockdowns in this fight. You know, I think she will probably try to bring her into the, you know, round 3, 4, 5. You know, I think they'll have some exchanges in the first two rounds, but I think Shevchenko will bring her into 3, 4, 5. She may even take her down, but you know, I do think she'll have in the area of 1, 2, maybe 3 knockdowns in this fight, and I think Shevchenko will win by TKO. I think Shevchenko will end up winning by TKO. And probably probably the fourth round. She'll bring her out there deep, fourth round TKO.
I like it. Other thing I would add to that, I think Shevchenko has to avoid being taken down in the early rounds. Avoid being taken down. Establish your stand up game in the early rounds. And then you become the aggressor and takedowns in the third, fourth, and fifth rounds, like my man Keys was saying. I think if Andrade can come out there and land a couple early takedowns, that'll build her confidence up, because that's what she did against Rose Namajunas. And she landed some takedowns early, and you can see her confidence growing in that Namajunas fight. Even though Namajunas was piecing her up, but you can see Andrade just gaining confidence. I like this fight a lot because Andrade is a worthy opponent. You know, she's been in there against the best. I'm going to give her a little bit more respect. I says Shevchenko wins by unanimous decision. She dominates the third, fourth, and fifth rounds to walk away with basically a dominating decision win over Jessica Andrade. So give me Shevchenko and a unanimous decision. All right. This is my fight that I think should be the main event. We got Zane Wiley, 21-1, going against Thug Rose Namajunas, 10-4. We got Rose at 5'5". We got Wiley at 5'4". Rose with a 2-inch reach advantage. We got a switch stance, and with Wiley going against Orthodox and Namajunas. Now, the number that sticks out in the stats, Rose Namajunas, 53% takedown accuracy. Wiley Zane, 24% and takedown accuracy. my man Keys, Wally Jane, -200, Nama Unis, +170. Break it down and give us your winner, bro.
So this is the thing with this fight. So I think it's Rose is having – so they're in the same division, right? Neither one of them is moving divisions for this fight?
Nama Unis was the champ. Andrade took the belt from her, and Wally Zane took the belt from Wally Zane. So they're both strawweights.
Okay, because it got me confused when Andrade was fighting Shevchenko. It got me all confused of who's in what division at this point. But my thing is, I was watching Wally Zhang, and I just can't believe how good she is on the ground. And I think my thing with Rose is I feel like she looked good against her last – I think her last fight was the rematch with Andrade. She won by, I think, split decision, or maybe unanimous decision. She won the decision, though. Yeah, I don't really remember the fight. I got to watch Rose's fight back. I got to watch that last fight with Andrade back. I'm a big Rose fan. I mean, I remember when she fought Joanna the first time, I was probably one of the only people I know that was like, yo, I think Rose is going to be, she's going to come out in this one. She's going to surprise a lot of people because people were heavy on Joanna. They hadn't really seen Rose. Yeah, they hadn't really seen Rose in a while. And I was like, no, I think Rose is just locked in for this. I think she's, you know, the look she had on her face when they were at the stare down, I was like, I think Rose, I just got a feeling about this. She's about to surprise some people with this. And she knocked out Joanna, you know, early in the fight. So Rose is going to be game. This is a scary fight. You know what I mean? I think I like what you said when you said that, you know, this is your main event. I think this, you know, this very well, this is the most competitive, to me, this is the most competitive of the three title fights, you know, by far, too. I think this is, the gap between these fighters is probably the smallest. You know what I mean? I think Usman and Masvidal is kind of a big, big gap between them two. I think Shevchenko and Andrade is a big gap as far as skills between them two. But this one, I feel like, is probably the closest margin as far as the overall skill set. So I need to just watch Rose. I feel like I haven't seen her, so it's hard for me to make the call. But I have watched Wiley Zhang's free fight. And she just looks so dangerous on the ground. And the way that she even lands shots when she's in, like, you know, a bottom position or, you know, she lands elbows. Oh, man, the elbows she lands, like, in top position. And it's so crazy. You even see her in bottom position, you know, throwing elbows to the head. And she's just – it's unbelievable. Like, she's such a scary fighter, man. And on the feet, obviously, she could box well. This is gonna be crazy. I mean, with not having seen Rose's free fight, and I haven't seen her, I'm going with Zhang Wiley to win this fight. I think Zhang Wiley is gonna have. I'm not sure how I want to go with it. I want to say Zhang Wiley is gonna win. I'll probably go with I think Zhang Wiley's going to win a decision here. I think Zhang Wiley, I don't see Rose getting finished. You know, I think it's going to be, actually, you know what? I take that back. No, I think Zhang Wiley is going to win by TKO with those elbows. She's going to be in bottom position. Rose probably going to take her down, and she's going to TKO Rose from bottom position with elbows. That's what I think is going to happen.
That'll be spectacular. So you predicting Wiley Zhang with a spectacular knockout in this fight from the bottom position.
From bottom position via elbows.
Wow. Well, I am going the other way. I'm picking Rose Namajunas in this fight. I think Namajunas is going to do some things to Wiley Zhang that we haven't seen. I think she's going to piece her up with her jab, and I think she's going to have a lot of head movement, and I think she's going to take Wally down, and she's going to make Wally fight off of her back. If Wally can fight off of her back and be effective in fighting off of her back, then she has a chance of winning this fight. I just don't see it happening. I think Rose Namajunas regains her belt, and she does it with a fourth round submission of Wally Zhang, and we got a new women's strawweight champion, Rose Namajunas, winning this fight. I look for her to dominate Zhang. Zhang probably wins the early rounds, you know, maybe one and two, but I look at Rose turning it on probably towards the end of the second, going into the third, and then she uses her wrestling going into the fourth, and that's when she submits Wally Zhang. We haven't seen Zhang actually tested on the mat, because I want to say her last, I know the Joanna fight was a stand-up battle. The Andrade fight, that really wasn't bad. That was kind of a stand-up fight, too. Tisha Torres also. And then she submitted some girl, Aguilar, who I don't even know. But she has fought some tough fights. Tisha Torres is one of Key's favorite female fighters. Andrade was the champion. And Joanna was a previous champion. So it ain't like she's been fighting bums. So, but I'm going with Rose, man. I think Rose win this fight via fourth round submission, man.
Evan said he's in the queue too.
Oh, my bad.
I guess Evan said he's in the queue. I just noticed that.
I see him.
No, I saw it.
Yo, what up,
Evan? I just saw it too.
Hey, can you guys hear me?
Yeah,
I can hear you.
How's it going?
All right, man. Hey,
good,
real
bro.
Quick. All right. Who you got in the Anthony Smith Jimmy Crute fight?
I think I'm gonna go with Anthony Smith, just the veteran of the game. I think he'll get it done. I'll say decision.
All right, the battle of the old man, Uriah Hall versus Chris Weidman. Actually, Evan, you are going to go. We're going to make this pick for you. You're going to go with me and Keith. Me and Keith predicted third round TKO for Uriah Hall.
I agree. Honestly, I was going to go with Uriah Hall as well. I think the power advantage, and I think Oldman Wiseman needs to step away.
So that fight sucks.
Yeah, man, I'm mad about this fight being on the main card, man. That just doesn't rhyme with me well, man.
Can you agree? Me and Lee both agree. We think that we said Calvin Oliveira and Randy Brown should have been in their spot on the main card. Do you agree?
In the sense of, like, you know, Randy Brown being an up-and-comer and, you know, Alex Oliveira having a decent name, you can switch it. But I agree. I really could care less for Uriah Hall or Weidman. So, yeah, no, definitely.
All right, let's see your picks for the title fight.
All right, Evan. Bullet Shevchenko taking on Jessica Andrade. Who you got and why?
You know, I feel like everyone, I don't know if you guys went already for this pick, but I feel like most likely everyone's going to pick Valentina. She's going to be the taller fighter and, I guess, the bigger fighter. But I'm going to go with the upset. I'm going to go with Jessica Andrade. I think besides Amanda Nunes, this is, like, the first other fighter that Valentina's fought with, like, genuine power. And Jessica's actually pretty durable besides getting knocked out by Wei Li, but as we see, Wei Li, you know, is a true champion. So I'm going to go with Jessica Andrade, and I'm going to say second round knockout.
Wow. Whoa. You got any words, Keith?
I'm flabbergasted. Can you hear me?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so, I'm surprised, but I'm not really surprised because Evan likes that. He likes the he's been doing that here lately. He comes in with the, you know, he had that. Who was it that he had recently? He had what's her name, man? Megan Anderson. He had Megan Anderson in the upset over Nunes. So I'm not surprised by that pick from Evan. Honestly, I kind of expected that.
When we do these prediction shows, Evan, we're just going to start calling you the king of the hot takes when we do these prediction shows, because you always have like a hot take on these prediction shows. So I'm scared to even ask about the next title fight. Zhang Weili, -200 taking on Rose Namajunas, +170 for the women's strawweight title. Who you got, Evan, and who you got, and why?
I'll come out with, you know, straight. I'm picking Wei Li. Like, I want her to win, and also I think she's going to win. But I don't think this is going to be as clear-cut down the pipe as some people think. You know, some people think Zhang is just going to knock Rose out in the first round. I just don't see that. I think we're going to see another great striking bout in just the history of MMA. I just think the biggest factor for me in this fight is when Wei Li fought Joanna, she was traveling all over the world because of the virus, truly didn't get to just sit in one place and train. And I think that played a major factor in her performance against arguably the best, you know, champion fighter at 115 in Joanna, and she still came away a winner. So I think the full training camp, no distractions, and just she's got the power advantage. So I'm taking Wei Li, but I'm taking it by, I'm going to say fourth round knockout for Wei Li.
Well, you and Keys both have Wei Li winning by knockout. I have Rose Namajunas winning fourth round submission. I think Namajunas wrestling could be a major factor in this fight because we haven't seen Wei Li fight off her back. We haven't seen her have to use a scramble game in none of her fights. And that's one thing Rose does have in her tool belt is being able to take down her opponent and being able to dominate their opponent when they're on the mat. I have Namajunas winning. Like I said, he got Wei Li winning. All right, let's jump into the main event, fellas. Kamaru Usman, -420 versus Jorge Masvidal, +330. 6 feet for Usman, 5'11 for Masvidal. Usman, 2-inch reach advantage. Usman switch stance, Masvidal orthodox. The biggest stat that stands out to me, the two of them that stand out. Significant strike accuracy, Usman at 66, Jorge at 54. Takedown accuracy, you got Jorge at 59 and Usman at 47. I don't know about that one. But coming to you first, Evan, who you got?
I'm going with Usman. I don't see him losing this fight. I understand the whole, you know, everyone wants to use the 6 day excuse, 6 days excuse, the weight cut and conditioning. But I just don't see how Jorge stops the wrestling. And Kamaru looked even better against Gilbert than he did against Jorge. And there's documented footage of Usman even saying that he just felt off that fight. And then in the Gilbert Burns fight, he looked great, even getting, you know, dropped early, kind of. He looked great. My one thing, though, is I just want to ask you guys this question. You can answer it when you do your predictions. What happens if Jorge loses? Like, who does he fight next? He's not getting another title shot because that's two title shots in a row that technically he didn't deserve. So, like, where did he go on a loss here? But with that being said, I'm going to go Usman, and I'm going to say third-round knockout.
All right, Keys, you up, sir?
So Evan, I got you, right? So I just thought of this while you were talking, and I have the answer for you. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. So when Masvidal gets the brakes beat off him by my boy Usman, right, when Usman just completely dominates him like he's going to and embarrasses him, so you're going to have that. He's going to lose, right? And then Leon Edwards is going to beat the brakes off Nate Diaz, right? So then you're going to have that match realign itself, and then you're going to have the quote-unquote BMF fight again with both of them coming off a loss, Masvidal versus Diaz 2. The UFC can go book that, right? The loser's bracket, they can go fight. So that's where Masvidal can go. He can go fight them. Diaz, he can fight. So he's going to have that. And then so Usman can then fight either Leon Edwards or Colby Covington. But I think Dana White already said he wants the winner of the fight to fight Covington. So it looks like that's the way that it's going with that. But we know Dana says things and then changes up. So it could be Leon Edwards. Who knows?
Oh, man.
Oh, you want my prediction for the fight also?
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah. So here's my prediction. Here's my prediction for the fight. So Kamaru Usman is going to absolutely dismantle Jorge Masvidal. This quote-unquote full camp Masvidal that his team keeps on talking about is not going to make a difference, okay? He's not the level of fighter that Usman is. And this fight is honestly so interesting because I know what's going to happen here. I know what's going to happen. This weekend, all the casuals are going to tune into the card because they're all Masvidal fans. Right, they all became UFC fans when they saw him knock out Ben Askren in 5 seconds. Now all of a sudden, all the casuals are gonna flock to this card to watch Masvidal, right? And then all the hardcore fans know that Usman is levels above him, right? So this is like a perfect hardcore fan versus casual fan title fight is what this is, and they're gonna be upset again. Because Usman's going to beat the brakes off him. And what's going to happen this time, he's going to break him. And it's going to be – I think Usman is – I think Usman might even – he's going to finish Masvidal. Masvidal always loves to say he's never been finished. He's going to get finished. He's going to get finished. And I'm just debating whether it's going to be a submission or a knockout. And
– wow.
I'm debating whether it's going to be a submission or a knockout. I don't think it's going to be a decision. Usman's going to take him out this time. Because you got to remember, too, Usman wasn't training for him either. So they love to say that Masvidal didn't have a full camp. Usman didn't have a full camp for him either. He was training for Burns. That's a very different fighter than Masvidal's style. You know what I mean? He wasn't training for that kind of fight. You know what I mean? Usman, Burns likes to grapple, too. You know, Burns is a striker and grappler. Masvidal is more of just a grappler. You know, so I'm more of just a striker. I'm sorry. He's more of just a striker. So neither one of them were training for each other. So I think Usman's full camp training for Masvidal is going to be 10 times better, the same way that they like to say that Masvidal's full camp is going to be 10 times better. I hope so. Bring it. I hope he comes with that. But no, I think Usman's going to TKO him. That's what I think. Usman's going to TKO him. Probably like third or fourth round. I'll go with fourth round TKO for Usman.
All right. So just to do a recap before I make my prediction, Keys has Crew, Hall, Shevchenko, Zhang Wali, and Usman. Evan has Anthony Smith, Uriah Hall, Jessica Andrade, Wally Zhang, and Kamaru Usman. Lee has Crew, Uriah Hall, Bullet Shevchenko, Rose Namajunas, and Jorge Masvidal. Yes, Lee said Jorge Masvidal. I'm pulling the keys tonight. I just don't want us to have the same. I don't want all three of us to be in agreement, except for the Uriah Hall, Chris Wilder fight. So, the reason that I think Jorge has a chance of winning this fight. And I'm going to go back to something Evan said. Gilbert Burns dropped Usman, but he never made an attempt to rush in to try to finish him. I think if Masvidal drops Usman, he does the right thing. He goes on an attack, and he tries to finish the fight. Usman is the better fighter in this fight, but I think Jorge has a puncher's chance, and I think with a puncher's chance, he rocks Usman. But my only caveat to this fight is Jorge has to finish this fight in the first two rounds. If he doesn't finish this fight in the first two rounds, he will get dominated in the third, fourth, and fifth rounds by Usman. Usman seems to get better as the fight goes on because he's a guy that can change game plans. He's willing to wrestle. He's willing to stand up. He's willing to dirty box. Usman is a guy that does it, that comes in in the cage with at least three ways of winning a fight. But I'm going to go with Jorge Masvidal, second round knockout. I'm not too confident in this pick, but I'm just doing the keys tonight. I don't want all of us to have the same pick, so I'm going to go against the grain, and I'm taking Masvidal. If you was asking me, am I betting money on Masvidal? No, I'm not. And actually, I probably wouldn't bet on this fight anyway. I wouldn't bet on this fight. The only fight I would bet on this card is Rose, Shevchenko, Uriah Hall, and probably Alex Oliveira. Those would be the ones I would probably do on DraftKings. But, man, we'd have made our predictions, and I'd have recapped our predictions. Any last words, Evan?
Don, just, thank you, everyone, for listening. So glad I was able to jump on just to, get the predictions real fast. And just a closing note for anyone that is interested, there is one championship fights on right now. They're on the prelims. The main event is not as big as the last one. If you guys remember the guy, John Lineker, he fought in the UFC for a while. I believe he's the main event.
Yeah.
But other than that, just thank you, guys.
Lineker was a flyweight, wasn't he?
Yeah, flyweight.
Lineker was – he was at bantamweight, too, after that.
I think he was supposed to get a title shot at flyweight, but he had way too many weight-cutting issues.
Okay. Any last words, Keys?
No, just thank everybody for listening. I appreciate it. We appreciate it. And, big fight crowd this weekend. Enjoy the fights. Be safe. Don't drink and drive. And, that's really much all I got. Oh, and actually, another thing from my last words, which actually I should have said it before, is I'm very happy with the verdict of the Derek Chauvin trial. I'm very happy that I feel like this is some form of justice. It's obviously a small step in a much bigger it's a much bigger walk. But I think it is a step in the right direction, and I'm glad that that justice was served and that this guy didn't just get off and get away with murder. So I'm very happy about that, and I was very glad to see that, and I'm happy. I don't know how they feel, but I'm sure the family is probably happy that justice was served and that there wasn't some kind of BS that they tried to pull out to try to make them get off. So it's nice to see that that police officers aren't above the law and that they are held to the to somewhat of the same standard that the average civilian is held to. So I just want to throw that out there for that. So very happy for that, and rest in peace, George Floyd.
Actually, you took the words out of my mouth because that was going to be my last word of the day, that, Derek Chauvin was convicted on all counts for the murder of George Floyd. Hopefully the Floyd family can find a little bit of solace in the ruling. But that's one down, man. That's one cop down. And hopefully this will send a message to police officers that you will be held accountable for your actions. but I don't want to, you know, I don't want to stay on that too much. I want to keep it on the fights, and I want to keep it on this. I love doing this show with my boys, Evan and Keys. You know, we get amped up for these big cards, and please follow our joint account on Twitter, LKE Real Talk on Twitter. I'm probably going to be super, what I do, y'all probably going to be live on Twitter on Saturday. I'll probably tweet from our account on Saturday, fellas, for the fights, because I don't have nothing going on, and this is a big card. So, yeah, I'm probably be tweeting for our account. And I just want to say, everybody take care of themselves. If you believe in the vaccine, go get it. Practice social distancing and wear a mask. And always in closing, I leave you with a positive thought, positive people, with positive energy, you have positive results. Me, Keys, and Evan signing off. And once again, as always, in closing, we always leave you with a